Today's gospel lesson on this third Sunday of Easter occurs in the last chapter of Luke. It begins with the disciples talking about these things, which is a reference to previous material where the disciples are struggling to comprehend these eyewitness testimonies that have reached their ears saying Jesus is alive, he is risen from the dead. But even before all of this, Luke reveals that Jesus had already prophesied his death and resurrection. For example, in Luke 9:22, Jesus says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then in Luke 18:33, a similar prophecy. "After flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise." What does this mean? Prophecies and eyewitnesses chronologically occur before the events in today's reading, meaning the resurrection of Christ should have been expected. But when the risen Jesus stands before his unstable disciples, they fall into confusion and doubt. They can't believe what they're seeing. The crucified Christ, who was once a bloody, mangled mess dangling from a Roman cross, now stands before them in his glory, but still in flesh and blood. If they needed proof, here it is, Jesus Christ bodily raised from the grave. But at the sight of their Lord and their God, their hearts fill with trouble and doubt. They think they're seeing a spirit. One thing is for certain. Luke makes it clear, Jesus is no spirit lacking physical substance and material essence. He rises with his human nature intact. Jesus assumed flesh like ours, the scriptures say, and he redeems us by his death. The same Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, exits the grave in bodily form. He continues to be true God and true man before and after his resurrection. So it is. Jesus doesn't shed his human flesh once outside the grave. Remember, creation is good. God made it, and that includes flesh and bone. Jesus has redeemed creation, including humanity, and rises in his body without sin as a testimony to the world that death is conquered, the curse of sin is defeated. The disciples think they're seeing a ghost, but they're not. Jesus stands complete with bones and flesh, even the wounds by which he was hoisted upon the cross. And if that's not enough evidence, Scripture goes on to say that Jesus wants something to eat. And so he eats broiled fish before his amazed onlookers. And the disciples are amazed to the point they don't even believe their own eyes. They disbelieved for joy and were marveling, the gospel says. Sounds too good to be true that the dead actually rise. Even with his prophecies, even with the eyewitness testimonies, the disciples are in complete awe that Christ actually fulfills his word and rises from the dead. Underscoring the disciples' disbelief and awe over the risen Christ highlights for us the important point that even firsthand students of Jesus struggled with the faith. A point I've made before from this pulpit. But it is characteristic of the sinful nature to question the truthfulness of God's word. Did God really say? That was the question posed by the serpent in the garden, and he continues to ask that serpent that question today, not just to unbelievers, but especially the church. One hears a command of God, something like, "Avoid sexual immorality, honor your parents, love and forgive your wayward neighbor. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Don't be given to anger and jealousy. Meditate all the time, day and night, on God's holy word. Let your speech be seasoned with salt as you praise your Lord and God for the gifts he has given you. As sinners, we are prone to question if this stuff really is all that important. But friends, questioning leads to doubt, and from doubt, it's only a short step to disbelief. God is not a liar, and he holds us accountable. Judgment will come even upon those who think it will not. Even upon those who disbelieve and hold fast to their opinions. God's verdict will be spoken on the last day. And by then, time on earth will have ran out. Jesus said he would suffer. Jesus said he would die. Jesus said he would rise again on the third day. And so his resurrection and appearance before the disciples reveal our God keeping his word, and that his word is true. There was never any doubt in the mind of Jesus that he would accomplish the will of the Father by his perfect obedience, culminating in his crucifixion. Jesus wouldn't prophesy his death and resurrection only to turn around and do the exact opposite. The point here is that God is faithful, even when we are not. He doesn't say one thing only to do something else, but God fulfills his word perfectly every time and in his own time. We get a little impatient when we're forced to wait for something. Yet when we are suffering and are in the throes of anguish and despair, crying out to God to deliver us from our affliction, let's face it, patience is a little hard to come by. And it's easy to say, oh, just be patient, when you're not the one feeling as if the water is up at your neck and rising. When we hear the gospel, sometimes we think, that's just really too good to be true. Pastor must be leaving something out. As the disciples stood and disbelieved from their joy and ecstasy at seeing their risen Savior, we often encounter the gospel the same way. How can this be that God freely and graciously forgives all of my sins without my cooperation? And that he has done it by the sending of his only begotten Son to pour out his blood in my stead. How can this be? It does sound too good to be true. My sin horrifies me. It doesn't go away. I fight temptation only to find myself doing the very thing I despise. I'm happy one moment, gloomy the next. When I search my heart, I find poverty, depression, weakness, and sin. People of God, your Savior didn't come into this world and go through everything he did only to now look at you and say, now you must copy me and save yourself. That's not the gospel. Jesus didn't come for the healthy, self-righteous, the proud, and haughty. He came for the sick. He came for sinners. The proclamation of the church, we hear it in Luke 24, that repentance and forgiveness of sins be proclaimed in the name of God. Repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Sounds too good to be true. Just as the resurrection of the human body sounds too good to be true. But as Christ kept his word to suffer, die, and rise again, friends, he keeps his word when he says to you, you are my child. You are forgiven. Go in my peace. And he will keep his word. That says one of the promises you have to look forward to is this thing called a resurrection of the body. We confessed it in the Apostles' Creed. When Scripture describes baptism, one of the things it says is that those who are baptized are united to a resurrection like that of Jesus. It's in Romans 6. The simple meaning of this is as Christ lives bodily from the dead, so do his people. The word resurrection, all that means is to rise up or stand again. Beyond death, your God will raise you up and you will stand again. That is one of the promises associated with the gospel. The forgiven child of God has life eternal, to anticipate and a resurrection of your physical flesh. That's hard to think about, though, isn't it? It's hard to think about living with God in blissful paradise in your flesh because our flesh is filled with so many imperfections. It's more believable to think that when we die, we become some sort of spirit or an angel, even though Scripture says angels are distinct beings created by God. But friends, the glorious testimony of Scripture says Jesus will raise us up on the last day, and he will give eternal life to all believers in Christ. Exactly what kind of bodies we will have at the resurrection, I've received that question before as a pastor, and the simple answer is, only God knows, but it is nothing we need to worry about. We do know this, at the resurrection of our physical bodies, the perishable puts on the imperishable, the mortal puts on the immortality. The dreadful effects of sin, you know them, sickness, disease, age, and decay, all those things will be no more when your Savior brings you into his heavenly home to abide with him for eternity. And that is his promise. Let not your heart be troubled. God is faithful, and he will not go back on his word. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.